We're continuing to unpack Governor Andrew Cuomo's budget proposal and what it means for New Yorkers with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And to do that, we're joined by Susan Constantino, who testified on behalf of New York disability advocates during the legislative budget hearing on the mental health portion of the governor's budget, and is president and CEO of Cerebral Palsy Association of New York State, which provides advocacy and advice for 24 member organizations around the state. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I want to start by talking about changes the governor is proposing to your reimbursement rates for New Yorkers that your members serve who might be pulled out of a facility for a weekend or an extended trip by their family. What are the facilities that are impacted? How does their funding fluctuate currently with these kinds of absences? And what's being proposed?
Well, the facilities that are going to be impacted by this are called IRAs, IRAs, Individual Residential Alternatives. And these IRAs get a rate. They get a daily rate for supporting people with disabilities. When someone goes home, they call it therapeutic leave, and an individual is entitled to go home as much as they want because all of our programs are supposed to be person-centered and are supposed to really listen to what are the needs and the wants and desires of individuals and try to accommodate them as much as possible, as well as the fact that we want folks to have a family life. What is being proposed right now is that each time a person goes home, the rate that the provider, that the IRA gets for that particular person, they will only get half. So if a daily rate is $100, the agency would only be paid $50. Now, while that sounds okay because the individual who went home is not there, but the truth is every single expense that that agency has, whether the individual was there or not, stays. We can't have a staff person not there because one person went home. It doesn't work like that. All of the bills that we pay, the electric, and you all know we pay them monthly, so having someone not there doesn't really help. So to then say they're only going to pay us 50%, if someone goes home a lot, which we would encourage if they choose to, that really can start to be a problem. The other thing that OPWDD has done is to say that will be good, the 50% payment, for 96 days.
So like 96 days of absences.
96 days of absences. On the 97th day, the person certainly could go home, but the agency would get zero, and for every day afterwards, and that would be 96 days per year. So that really does say that many families love to take their family member home and on vacation and whatever, which is what we would all want to happen, but it will cause real financial difficulty for the agencies.
Yeah, what are the practical implications of this? I mean, could a provider, for example, say, you know, you can't take your family member out because we need the money in order to keep them here? Or would they have to simply eat the losses and, you know, it would either result in cuts elsewhere so you guys can keep your lights on?
Right. I really believe that what most agencies would do is would eat the losses and have to look for cuts otherwise. I don't know, because this hasn't been tested, I don't know if an agency said, absolutely no, you can only go 96 days. I don't know if the person wanted to go the 97th, if they could then go to OPWDD and object to what the family or what the agency was doing to not letting them go home. But I don't think any agency would do that. Our role is to support the individual as much as we could. So that cut is extremely difficult to think about how you would budget around it. It really depends on where people are and how many folks you have who go home. Some agencies may not have a lot of folks who go home at all, and they won't be impacted, where others that could be critical. There's also just one other little piece to this, is that there's another set of rules that they're changing, and this is for something called retainer days. So if an individual, again, living in an agency, has to go into a hospital, currently, right now, we get paid for the days that they're gone, but they are now, the new proposal is a are very concerned because a person might spend 30 days in a hospital. But again, it generally costs the agency more money then because they're sending staff to the hospital to be with the individual there. So they're not saving money by someone not being there. They're actually probably spending more and, again, only being paid for half. So the two together could cause real financial difficulties for agencies.
Well, and I have to imagine that these organizations aren't in the strongest of financial footing to begin with. You know, thinking about this current fiscal year, I mean, have you guys experienced higher costs as a result of the pandemic and potentially lower state support as Governor Andrew Cuomo looks to, you know, manage his cash flow by either delaying payments to organizations that contract with the state or simply reducing what they're paying to these organizations?
Absolutely. We went into the pandemic not in a good financial situation. They're really for about 37% of the agencies. They had less than 40 days of cash on hand and 33%, less than 30 days of cash on hand, meaning, you know, you have to pay your staff every 2 weeks. You need to have the dollars to be able to do that. So they went in a not good shape. What then occurred with COVID, as you know, is that the PPEs, the protective equipment that all of our staff needed to wear, we didn't have as much as we should, as no one did. And the amount that we were paying for it was astronomical, and every agency had to pay whatever the going price was to whoever we could find who would have it. Then, on top of that, if you were asking a staff person to work in a home where an individual had COVID, I mean, they were taking their own life for as much as we knew in March and April and May and June of what was going on. We were asking them to put themselves in hope and maybe their families in harm's way, so we paid them more. Some agencies paid as much as twice as much in order to get staff to come in to work. We needed the staff. There's no choice. And they put the money out. They did it. And there has been no reimbursement from the state for any of that. Some of the agencies may have gotten some of the federal dollars, the PPP money that came in through the feds if they were eligible. Many were not eligible at all. Others might have gotten a few other dollars, but nowhere near what was the money that they were spending on these particular necessities for our folks in order to keep our individuals safe. And then the governor, in needing dollars, we have things that are called state contracts where we get paid 100% by state dollars. What the governor did was to do a withhold. He didn't cut our state dollars by 20%, but he held it back. So with the hope that you're going to get it back, you could look at it that way, but the dollars, the cash, was not there. You know, we've since heard that we may get 15% of that back, so agencies are looking at potential dollars coming to them, but there was the withhold of 20%, and in the budget, the talk of another a withhold of 5% or perhaps a cut of 5%, depending on what the federal dollars coming into our state will turn out to be.
And finally, in Albany on Wednesday, the Center for Disability Services welcomed reporters into a group home where New Yorkers with intellectual and developmental disabilities were getting vaccinated from a small pool of available doses. I was curious, with that as a backdrop, what do you think of the broader effort in New York to get this population vaccinated? How do you think it's been going?
Well, I will say one thing. I heard today that 61% of the individuals who live in a congregate setting, in a home in New York State, 61% of them have been vaccinated. I think that's wonderful. I thank the governor for putting us on for people who live in congregate setting, for putting us in the 1A category. We fought very hard for that, and I'm happy to say that we made that, so we were first. But as you know, there hasn't been enough vaccine. It certainly is getting much better now, and we're able to get more to people. But in the beginning, it was so slow in getting to us, so that even though we were 1A, it wasn't available. The last couple weeks have been better. I want to give the governor credit for what he's done well for us in terms of making sure over the last couple weeks that our agencies have been getting it. But before that, it was terrifically slow.
Well, we've been speaking with Susan Constantino. She's the president and CEO of the Cerebral Palsy Association of New York State. Susan, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.